We're so glad that you're joining us online. I wish we could be in person, but this is going to be a great way to begin relationships. Pastor Ryan and I have been meeting all week long, and we have some really amazing news to share with you. If you haven't heard already, we are becoming one church in two locations, and we received an email on March 23rd, Monday afternoon. It actually went to both Ryan and I's junk mail box for some reason, but it is official as of Monday the 23rd. We are now one church in two locations recognized by the state of Wisconsin. And so, man, this has been an amazing journey, and I'm so grateful to be a part of what God is doing here in Dane County to help more people find Jesus. If you don't know already, my name is Pastor Andrew. I lead the West Madison location, and it's just an honor to be here. It's a great part right now, us being in the digital church, a virtual church right now, to see our churches embracing this virtual living. I have heard of people getting on Zoom phone calls and conferencing each other. On Wednesday night, we had a group that ran out of time, so I guess there's a free version, and you can only go for 40 minutes. They ran out of time, so they found somebody that had a paid version, and was like, all right, let's continue meeting. And so, man, it's just so encouraging to see everybody like taking advantage of Facebook, talking to each other, texting and calling. I've seen different pictures online of people kind of visiting each other from a distance, and it's just great to be a part of a church that really believes in being family, even when during this season we have to be socially distant. So today we're going to continue our series on being a church that is focused. We have chosen to be a church that is focused on doing a few things and doing them really well. And over the last 4 weeks, we have covered the different topics. So first, we covered being a church that has the heart of God, that we are a church that love the lost, just like God loved the lost. We're also a church that wants to do something. We don't want to just sit back and watch the world around us. We want to be like Christ, who got up and he did something. And so we encourage everybody that you should take an opportunity, do something. Don't just sit around and watch everybody else participate in what God wants to do. We also mentioned that we are a church that wants to be generous givers, because God was generous to us and didn't withhold anything for us. We're also a church. Last week, we mentioned our first week being online, that we are a family, that God has desired for us to be stronger together. And because of what Jesus has done for us, even though we might not be blood related, we are all family. Today, week 5, we're going to be focusing on the next generation, that we are a church that believes in changing tomorrow today by investing in the next generation. And it's not only something that we're going to do through receiving the offering to increase our next gen spaces, both in Sun Prairie and in West Madison, but it's also something this morning that we're going to see is a spiritual way that we can impact the next generation. So if you came today looking for hope, for peace, or for purpose, or focus in your life, I have good news for you today. Today, you will have an opportunity to receive hope. So stay tuned to the end of the message, and you'll have an opportunity to receive the hope that we found in Jesus. Today's passage, we're going to be looking at Psalm 78. So if you have your Bible or you have your Bible app on your phones, go ahead and turn to Psalms or flick over to Psalm 78 this morning. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. If you're on our online platform, you can even find the Bible app over to your side. But Psalm 78, verse 1 through 8, it reads this way. It says, O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories of our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell them to the next generation, about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, and he gave instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children that are not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children, to each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn and rebellious and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity we have to meet together, to receive from your word. God, I pray that you would challenge us and you would help us each to become more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to welcome everybody watching online. I know this is different from meeting physically, but we are so glad that you guys are here this morning. You know, our families say a lot about who we are. Whenever you go to the doctors, or specifically as Rachel and I have found in adopting a child, they always want to know what your family history is. Have you ever filled out one of those questionnaires going through all the different symptoms and all the different ways that of your family history? Well, one of the questions that they asked us during the adoption process was, what's the name of every person that you've ever dated, and why did you break up? I thought these questions, they had a list of over 100 of them, and they were pretty invasive questions, but they wanted to know who we were. Your family tree, your history, is going to be an indicator to your health. Let me tell you a little bit about my family. Many of you guys are getting to know me. I look forward to meeting all of the Sun Prairie location members and those that call Sun Prairie Focus Church home. But there's a little bit about my family. I was born to two amazing people, and I will go to bat with any of you that I have the absolute best family. I know you're probably convinced the same thing about yours, but I tell you without a doubt, I believe that with my whole heart. My parents were amazing followers of Jesus, and they were also in the ministry, and so I grew up doing kids ministry with my parents and in church and on the streets. We used to go into apartment complexes together. They were an example of what faith is in action. We regularly had people over to our house for meals. We would pray regularly. If we were sick, and we were praying for each other. We believed in miracles. But it wasn't out of the ordinary for me to wake up in the morning, getting ready for school, and find that my father had been staying up all night praying and was on the living room floor with his Bible spread out, just praying and believing for God to do things for our family and for our city. And so that heritage was amazing. I even remember playing church as a kid. You know, I used to watch, if you aren't familiar with a gentleman, his name is Benny Hinn. There's many miracles that happen in his ministry, and there's something that was normal that would happen at his ministry times when he prayed for people. Often the Spirit of God would manifest, and there was certain things that would happen. And so as kids, we would pray over each other just like Benny Hinn would, and sometimes people would be pushed over, and we may or may not have caused concussions in some of my siblings because we were just so enamored with living in church. But even now, I'm just had my 33rd birthday. Rachel and I are celebrating our 13th year anniversary this year. And we have, like I mentioned, we were looking into adoption. We do have one son, Denver, who turned 10 this month. And so we're really excited about that. We met at Bible College. Rachel and I went to Central Bible College, where we were pursuing the call that God had in our lives to be ministers. And now we're just kind of like living the dream. This is the amazing part, being here in Dane County, being a part of Focus Church, helping more people find Jesus. That's kind of our story. And I hope at later dates we can maybe have coffee together and I could share even more. But generations are critical because one generation will set up the success of the next, especially whether they know God. See, in 2 Timothy 1:3-5, Paul is talking to Timothy. Paul is a writer in the New Testament, and he helped set up many churches. Timothy was one that trained under him, and so he writes this a personal letter to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, and he says this to Timothy, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you." I don't know about you, does anybody have a praying grandmother who kept you on the right path? I mean, these are things that the things of God are passed on from one generation to the next. But you know, everything about who we are is passed on. I'm learning this, and I tell on myself all the time as a new parent of ways that I'm finding that the things that of who I am are being passed on to Denver. Some of them really good. Other of them, I wish he wouldn't see. But each generation is responsible for the next generation knowing God. Some of us in the room here or online have experienced a great generational investment. I can attest to the great ways that my parents have blessed me and I have inherited something amazing to follow. But some of us are looking to establish a new heritage, a new legacy. Because knowingly or unknowingly, we are all leaving a legacy for the next generation. Today, the invitation is for you to choose intentionally to leave a great investment for the next generation. It takes intentionality because each generation has a prophetic declaration, a declaration that they make, and it creates a platform. Pastor Ryan says it this way, the next generation stands on the shoulders of the previous generation. The Bible says that we have an opportunity that one generation shall praise the works of God to another generation. How we declare the wonder, the might, the testimony of God will establish and empower the next generation. I remember as a little kid hearing my parents talk about their early days of faith and when they begin to believe God to do miracles. One story that I remember really well, and every time I have a car issue, I'm reminded of this story. See, my mom and dad were living in a military town. Dad was in the Marine Corps for 20 years. And during this time, all the men, of course, in the area, they left and went to work. And oftentimes, the ladies would be at home. And my mother was friends with a neighbor across the street. And she was pregnant and needed to go to the hospital. Well, the gentleman had already left and taken the cars to work, but she had to get to the hospital, and so she went out to one of the cars in the driveway. The neighbor did, tried to start the car, and it wouldn't work, and it wouldn't start. And so she came over to Mom, knocked on Mom's door. Mom, or I guess I could call my mom Tina. Tina is her first name. Kind of strange to say that out loud. But went to my mom and asked her, "Would you come? Could you help me start the car?" And Mom didn't know anything about engines or what to do, and she just said, "Okay, let's pray." They prayed over the car started, they went to the doctor's appointment, went inside, went to the doctor, did all their stuff, came back outside, started the car back up, drove back home, and when they drove it back home, they parked it in another location. And so later in the evening, when the guys came home from work, they went and they noticed that the car was now parked in a different location. And so they came over to
mom and knocked on the door and said, hey, how did you start the car? They said, well, we didn't know what to do, so we just prayed over it. And the gentleman responded, it's impossible for that car to drive. It has not had a battery in it for 2 weeks. Crazy God miracle. And so whenever I have a car issue, the first thing that I do, because I've heard that story growing up, man, I'm going to pray for my car. If I don't have gas, well, maybe it's probably my fault. But in other situations, man, God, would you come through and help whatever the situation is? The faith of a previous generation is passed down, and it influences the next generation. So we have chosen to be a generation that declares the wonders and the greatness and the goodness of God to the next generation, so that when they come into situations or circumstances that are too big for themselves to carry, they can remember the things that God has done for the other generation and stand in faith in that moment. During this time, I want to hopefully convince you, of the way that your faith, the faith in God, is contagious, will affect the next generation. Right now, we're currently all in quarantine. Why? Because they have found out that one person who has the coronavirus is likely to spread it to 10 people. That's why we're seeing this exponential curve of the amount of people that are receiving or getting infected by the virus. I want to challenge you, the faith that we have and the belief that we have in God is just as contagious and can affect a great amount of the next generation. It's our choice whether we're going to be intentional to invest in them. See, in the 1960s, they made a declaration. They made a declaration that there was no God. And from generation upon generation, that has influenced who we are as America to now in America, we are considered a post-Christian culture. I had an opportunity to receive Pastor Ryan's notes for this message. And there's a section here that I read over and over again, and I couldn't help but kind of get excited. Because he wrote this, and I'll just give him credit for these next words. But it says this, it is time, wherever you are in the generational train, it is time to flip the switch. It's time to make a counter declaration. It's time to change the next generation. It's time to shift the culture. We're not willing as a church to see our nation, to see our children, to see our grandchildren, to see the lives around us go in a direction that takes them away from God. I have decided, and I hope that you decide also, to declare what God has done for you. He is a God of healing. He is a God of deliverance. He is a God of miracles. He is a God that provides. In this crazy season that we currently find ourselves in, what is the next generation going to say about this time? Are they going to talk about this as a time of fear and chaos and being alone and seeing destruction? Or are they going to be a generation that speaks about how God came through? Many of you guys listening online and gathered here in the room, the few of us that are able to be here today, man, we have stories of the way that God has come through in crazy, miraculous ways, ways that he has shown himself to you and proven himself to be real. Don't carry those things alone inside of you. Be determined, be intentional to share those things with the next generation. They need to hear the goodness and the realness of our Father in heaven. Today, I painted a really amazing picture of my family. And without a doubt, it has been amazing. But what I left out was a decision of my father in a jail cell that changed our whole family tree. See, the glorious picture that I painted, it started in a dark day in a cell with Dad calling out to God, saying, God, if you will get me out of this jail, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And when he prayed that prayer and he meant it deep within his heart, all of a sudden something changed. And now our whole family has been impacted. This Jesus thing is meant to be passed on from one generation to the next. See, when God in the Old Testament, he spoke to Abraham. Abraham is often called the father of our faith. He was a man of faith in the Old Testament that chose to believe God's word. He was spoken to, it said that he would be a blessing to all generations. Later in the Old Testament, David, he was a man after God's own heart. Earlier in the message, I mentioned a specific scripture of his in Psalms 145, verse 4. It says, he made this decree that one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. In Matthew, the book of Matthew in the New Testament, it's beginning to introduce Jesus. And there's this sometimes maybe boring list of names that we have a hard time pronouncing. But that is a story of the genealogy of Jesus, of how faith has been passed on from one generation to another until Jesus was born. When Jesus was meeting with his disciples, he also indicated this to his disciples, that this Jesus thing, this faith thing, was going to be something that would be passed on from generation to generation. And he said it this way to the disciples, freely you have received, freely give it away. Paul, again, speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, he says this, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be able to teach others. Sometimes I like to pause, and while I was preparing for this message, again, pause and begin to think about it, begin to imagine and look back, seeing all the people that are in your spiritual family tree. It was because of the obedience of the disciples to share what they had received from Jesus and given it to the next generation. And that generation decided to be faithful and obedient to God and share it with the next generation. And it was passed on and passed on and passed on until this moment right here in time where you are listening to this message online or whether you're listening to it right here presently, it was passed on to this moment. And again, we all have a decision to make. Are we going to be ones who pass it on to the next generation? We are leaving a legacy, whether we realize it or not. The greatest gift, I have full faith in this, the greatest gift my parents have ever given me was their decision to follow Jesus. As I mentioned a few moments ago, it literally changed our family tree. I had the opportunity at the age of 5, we were living in Okinawa, Japan, and we had been in a church there for a little while. They had a vacation Bible school. It was a summer camp for kids, and I remember the moment that I gave my life to Jesus. We were doing a little lesson, and that day we had an opportunity to mold some clay into anything that we wanted our life to be like. Some of my friends chose soccer balls, and they formed a little soccer ball. Some of them had different trinkets, and I had this moment, and I said, Andrew, or many of you know, my family calls me Andy. Andy, what do you want to be? What do you want to form your life after? And I remember making a little mold of the Bible. And I said, I want my life to look like Jesus. if it weren't for the parents that I had that created an environment in my home where faith was something that was praised, it was something that was celebrated, that decision would have never been made in my life. They created a norm that it was normal to live by faith. It was normal to tell of the awesome deeds of God. It was normal to want to be like Jesus. Each generation builds on the experiences of another. When one generation forgets God, it begins a cycle to the next generation. But here's the good news. And I'm standing here today in your living room this morning or whenever you are watching it. I'm standing here as proof of the good news that we can change our family tree. Through Jesus, we can break the cycle. And I hope this morning that you can believe that with me. See, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, God speaks these words. He says, I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. If you're watching in this moment and you're thinking about your family tree and you're saying, wow, Pastor Andrew, I don't think my family tree looks exactly like your family tree. Be determined today. Be intentional today about obeying God, about putting your faith in Jesus. And the scripture will be true that from your generation on, as far as those who obey God, they will be loved by God. You can change your family tree. See, there's another part of this whole story of my family. I'm a miracle standing here today. See, my father's decision to follow Jesus in that jail cell led my parents, led mom and my dad on a road to following after Jesus. Shortly after that time they had made a decision for Jesus, they found out that they weren't able to have children. And so it was through them following after Jesus that one day a pastor in their church looked at them and said, you know what? It's time for you to have kids. He prayed over them. And shortly after that moment, my parents found out they were pregnant with my older sister, Charity. I am one of five kids that God blessed them with. See, that one decision by my father to make a decision to follow Jesus not only impacted mom and dad's life, but I believe literally enabled me to have life. As they found Jesus as their Savior, they also found that Jesus was a miracle worker in their lives. One generation can make a difference that will impact families and our cultures. Jesus was often a radical paradigm shifter. He took what was normal for people and he said, there's a different way to look at it. There's another way to live. I love reading the New Testament and reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and seeing the different ways that Jesus and the disciples work together. I remember one of these stories where the disciples still hadn't quite grasped exactly what Jesus was about. And there was a city that was kind of unbelieving, and Jesus wasn't able to do a lot of miracles there. And so his disciples said, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire on that city? Just like, no, guys, you don't quite get what I'm about. There was another moment where the disciples were thinking about Jesus. They knew that he was the coming king of Israel. And so they asked him, Jesus, can we sit at your left or at your right when you're sitting at your throne as king? Again, Jesus looked at them and said, you guys don't quite get it. No, it's actually the least of you that will be the greatest in my kingdom. Jesus also was one that radically shifted the value of children, the next generation. See, Jesus was meeting, and anytime Jesus was ministering, there was often a crowd that gathered. And at one of these moments, a crowd had gathered, and all the important people, of course, would want to be near Jesus, and the adults, of course, were pressing in, and the disciples were definitely convinced Jesus was an important person. And so in the time, the children of the day, they didn't carry a lot of value. Often, maybe they represented a little bit of sickness and disease, and maybe some of you guys have realized as your kids have been out of school, maybe they're a little annoying. And so Jesus at this time, the children were coming to him, and the disciples spoke up and they said, no, you know, get the kids away. There's more important things for Jesus to be doing. And again, Jesus shifted the culture. He changed the paradigm. And he actually highlighted the value of these children and said that actually the kingdom of God is like these little kids. That you disciples, all you important people, all you adults that are standing around, you actually need to be more like these children because they have great faith. See, we build a legacy of prosperity and peace from one generation to another. But we may have to shift some norms on how we think about children, how we think about the next generation. We may have to begin to be more intentional about how we're sharing who God is with the next generation. We may have to fight for this next generation. Will you guys join us in fighting for the next generation? It doesn't matter where you are. You can change today. Right now in our society, it's really prevalent to allow kids to be themselves. It's become the best way that the kids can decide for themselves what they want to do. I want to challenge that thinking with Scripture and start being intentional about investing in the generation that is coming behind you. See, we can't force anybody to follow Jesus, but we can make an environment where it's easier to choose Jesus. I'm learning this on a regular basis now being a parent. How do I create an environment for my son that helps him to choose Jesus? Because as much as I talk about the greatness of my parents, I had to make a decision when I was 5, when I was in middle school, when I was a teenager, when I was an adult, that my faith was not going to be based off of my parents. They could never force me to follow Jesus. But I made a continual decision to say yes to Jesus in my life. Why don't we begin embracing, transforming the next generation? Fight for your family. Fight for your children. Fight for your church family. Make a difference in the next generation. Be a part of a church that believes that the power of God can change a family tree. When a church believes in the next generation, we will only get God-sized dreams and results. See, the next generation can remind us of what it is like to know God and to have faith in Him. Jesus elevated the children. He elevated the next generation. He spoke value to it and said that we should have faith just like a child has faith. And I love having my little boy around, because it's amazing how much he believes what I say. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. Sometimes it's a really good result that all of a sudden I can see in him this faith arise. If I say he can do something, by God, he's going to do it because Dad said I could do it. Kids have that kind of faith. And Jesus is speaking to us in the room, the older generations, to say, you can have faith just like the child. Let's pass on the wonders and the goodness that God has shown us to this next generation. Let's make a declaration just like Joshua did in Joshua 24, verse 15. It says this, but if you don't want to worship the Lord, then choose it right now. Will you worship the same idols that your ancestors did? Or since you're living on the land that once belonged to the Amorites, maybe you'll worship their gods. Joshua declared this, I won't. My family and I are going to worship and obey the Lord. And he asked this question, what are you going to choose today? At Focus Church, we are choosing to change tomorrow today. We will invest in the next generation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word that encourages us, Father, and also challenges us to be intentional about changing and investing in the next generation. Lord, give us courage to take steps of action towards investing in the next generation. Father, also give hope to those that look at their family tree and say it doesn't look the prettiest. Father, I thank you that you give us hope that the decisions that we make today can change our future. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of the message, I mentioned that you will have an opportunity to respond to the hope that we have in Jesus. I don't know what comforts have been stripped away during this season of being in our homes and being separated from our outside world. I don't know what securities you have lost. I don't even know if you're watching right now and you've lost your health. Maybe you've lost your peace. But I know this for sure, that there is one that you can put your trust in today that never changes. He's not like a shifting shadow that is here today and he's gone tomorrow. No, Jesus is described as a rock that can become your solid foundation in the fiercest of life storms. Maybe you were listening to the message today and you recognize that you want to change your family tree. You want to change what your generation is known for. The scripture says that all that we have to do is to pray, to talk to God. Just like my father took a moment in a jail cell and said, God, I want to live for you the rest of my life. Today, you can take the opportunity and decide to follow Jesus the rest of your life. And if scripture is true, which I believe that it is, the decision that you make today will radically transform your life. It will give you hope. It will create security. It will bring peace and focus into your life. So at Focus Church, we want to take an opportunity right now to pray. At Focus Church, we never pray alone. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want to invite you to repeat with me. And so everybody can join us in this moment, whether you're on your cell phone, on a laptop, gathered in your living room, or wherever you are. Let's pray a prayer, making a decision to follow Jesus. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me in this way. Dear God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who lived a life I couldn't live. He lived a life to bring me hope. Father, forgive me for my wrongdoings. I am making a decision to follow you today. Give me strength to walk this decision out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.